Well, hello and welcome to another episode of the IAA Mobility Visionary Club podcast. This is a special edition coming to you live from the IAA Mobility in Munich. We have a live audience in front of us, which is very exciting. Welcome, audience. Today we are talking about vehicle subscription, and here to help me, I have Maximilian Rohr of Finn and Florian Clear of Sixt. How did I do pronouncing the names?
Amazing. Thank you so much.
Perfectly.
You flatter me. Okay, welcome, guys. It's so good to have you here. We have been talking about vehicle subscription models as alternatives to vehicle ownership over the last few years. They're getting more popular. Why? What is contributing to this trend?
So I think it's easy. It's online. I don't know why car or automotive should be the only industry that isn't moving from offline to online. So I think there is a significant shift in every industry, and that will impact the automotive industry as well.
Sixt is offering different ways of mobility, including you've got rentals, ride hailing, car sharing, or subscription. What are the main advantages of subscription over traditional ownership or like regular old leasing?
Very interesting point. There's so many. It could last a bit. No, if we go down, first of all, flexibility is key. It gives you the chance to choose the car you really need or you would like to drive, for example. Then shorter capital commitment, contract durations. And if we talk about B2B, yeah, most of the subscription models, ours, for example, all in, it means all costs included and services included, except gas and electrification or charging.
So your insurance is in there as well.
Insurance, pre-leasing, replacement, it's all in.
Okay.
So you can really save on the fleet management cost side in the B2B environment. You have only one contact point handling the whole request of company car users. And of course, that's really, a good solution, slim solution, and flexible solution.
I mean, B2B customers have this pain point with like hundreds of cars, but I think like for the consumer, it's exactly the same point as well.
Yeah.
So ultimately, for consumers, it's a little bit less pain than for B2B, but it's also definitely one of the key points that you have everything taken care of and you get a car delivered to your doorstep and you can just start driving without worrying about all the bureaucracy and hassle that is typically associated with car ownership.
So let's take a step back, and I realize maybe I should have asked this to start off. Let's define the term. What is vehicle subscription versus leasing? Like, when does it turn into a leasing relationship? What's the difference?
Okay, when we talk about subscription models, we have a subscription product family called Sixt Plus. So we have the standard subscription. You can choose 1 month, 6 months, 12 month subscription duration. And then we have B2B focused, full flexible solutions where you can swap cars whenever you want. You can pause, and there the contract duration is 12 months. When we talk in the B2B or in the B2C environment about leasing, for example, normally about 4 years contract duration.
And you got 4 years for a lease? Oh, wow.
Yeah. And you know, in leasing, you on the B2C side, and we discussed it beforehand, you don't have full transparency on the cost. You might have the leasing price, and then, of course, there are additional costs, and the B2C environment, they don't even know the total cost of ownership. So that's something we together have to educate in the market, and from my side, in short, the difference between leasing.
Okay, that's very helpful.
And subscription.
I can sing you a very sad song about my past leasing experience when I scratched the car and then went to return it. And they were like, oh, ho, ho, they saw dollar signs. And I was very sad. I'm curious, looking to you, Maximilian, what strategies can be used to balance offering choice with maintaining operational efficiency? How are you thinking about this?
So ultimately, the two are not necessarily opposites. So ultimately, choice is great for consumers. And the more choice you have, the easier it is to convince consumers to ultimately choose your product and choose your offering. Of course, like with more cars, with different brands, with different models, comes some complexity in terms of managing utilization, managing sales, and all of these stuff. But I think the ultimate, I think like what both Sixt and Finn have in common, I think the part of the core competency is building a technology platform that is able to manage that complexity. And that is ultimately abstracting all of these problems that previously were on the consumer or on the business, and automating a lot of that away and being able to handle all of that complexity in a very efficient manner.
Flexibility can only be key if you have the choice of cars. So as you said, you need a variety of cars in the fleet to offer to B2C or B2B environment. And for us, we were founded in 1912 as a pure car rental company. So what we do since more than 100 years, logistically coordinate cars from A to B. And of course, to build up a car rental fleet with a huge variety of different cars, from small BEV to luxury sport cars. And that's something people need and like, so they can swap maybe only for a weekend to a sports car and go to a small BEV car again.
How are you thinking about it in the future as a strategy when it comes to subscription? Is it going to be a complementary offer to other options like car rental, or will it perhaps become dominant?
Our core business was, is, and will be definitely car rental. But if you have a look at the marketing or the market figures, for example, it's 83 billion in the year 2022 car rental globally alone in dollars. And if we have a look at the global market of all kind of mobility products in the year 2030, we talk about around 6.7 trillion. And of course, due to the fact that our fleet is the basis, we push flexible and sustainable solutions like subscription in the future. And we can see a shift in the pattern of our target group in the direction of sustainability and flexibility. So we will push it further.
I mean, ultimately, like, companies need to be good at solving users' problems. And if you're great at solving problems, like if a subscription is ultimately there to solve some of the individual mobility needs and some of the problems that are currently experienced in the ecosystem, it will play a major role. Ultimately, at some time, the borders will be fluid. Like, when is something a rental? When is something a sharing? When is something a subscription? When is something a leasing? When is something maybe more towards the area of financing? And so I think that will ultimately cause companies to try to solve a user problem in a very distinctive way that might not ideally fit these terminologies going forward.
As a consumer, I don't really care about the terminology as long as it's affordable and easy.
Absolutely right, yeah.
Let's talk about a problem, though. Or challenges. Let's call it a challenge. Depreciation. This is a huge concern when it comes to vehicle ownership. How does it factor into subscription pricing models, and how do you communicate that aspect to customers?
So it's a cost that is first and foremost intransparent to consumers. So you buy a car and you don't realize that when you drive off the lot, it's losing at least 20% of its value.
Maybe more.
Yeah. And that doesn't feel great, right? Does
it?
No. And so, like, I think one of the core competency of like fleet operators is ultimately managing that depreciation. And I always ask people, like, why do you feel that you should have an asset that is maybe like half of your yearly salary on your balance sheet that is losing value each month? Like, what makes you think that sounds like a great idea? And that's maybe a little bit of a pointed way of saying it, but ultimately we believe that managing depreciation in a very disciplined way, making sure that you have secured residuals, is one of the core competency of our company and something that is very, very important and some of the value that we are creating.
You just mentioned a huge USP. You don't have a subscription cost on the balance sheet. And how we do it internally at Sixt, most of the cost, the high majority of cost, we don't buy at risk. We buy them with buyback. So we.
What does that mean? Define
we
that.
We give it back to the OEMs after around 6 months.
Okay.
So there's no risk at all. And only a few models we buy on risk.
What strategies can you use to manage residual values of fleet? And I'm thinking specifically about electric vehicles, because we're trying to be more, all of us are trying to be more sustainable. Yeah. But this is an issue.
No, for electric vehicles, this is even more the case. Like, imagine you literally don't know how technology is going to look like with battery electric vehicles 5, 6, 7 years down the line. So ultimately, you not only have a residual risk, but you also have technology risk. And so a subscription or also alternative use modes are a great way to trying out electric mobility. You can explore it for a couple of months. It's the longest test drive that you ever had. You can see whether it fits your lifestyle and ultimately are able to decide, is this something for me? And the majority of people say yes. So what we see is that if people use an electric vehicle for 6 months, then they want to have another one. They fall in love with it. And they realize, like most use cases, electric mobility is totally fine.
As multi-brand platforms, you have to manage diverse fleets. What strategies are you using to ensure the right mix of vehicles are available to cater to varying customer preferences and demands?
I already talked a bit about it. So we have a car rental fleet, around 240,000 cars worldwide. So our job, since more than 100 years, is to coordinate which car has to be where. So it's in our really car rental DNA. And when we take this fleet and not only go into car sharing, but also in subscription, of course, we would love to offer this variety. At the moment, we have more than 30 different car classes to the customer B2C or B2B. And the logic behind, of course, that's our core DNA to coordinate logistics.
So logistics is one thing. Subscription models, though, also generate a lot of valuable data about customer behavior, customer preferences. How do you harness this data to inform your business and your product development and your long-term decision-making?
Yeah, it's extremely closely connected. And ultimately, what you're trying to do is you try to learn or to shorten iteration cycles. So whenever you try out something, you try it out, then you measure how is this going? Is this actually helping us or not? Maybe you're even running an experiment where you show different consumers different options and then realizing ultimately what is it that is working for us. And so leveraging data is, I think, one of the most important aspects and bringing ultimately a skill set to the automotive industry that might not have been as much in use in the past is, I think, core to what we're doing.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I can underline. And what we do and also do is like, we don't do like deep market research. We always do co-creation of products in the B2B environment together with our customers. So we go into pilot phases, we generate user patterns and data, and therefore we push or change the product the way it should work or could work. So, and of course, I guess for both of us, GDPR is the limit, and we are in line and trying to create a better product day by day.
So let's shift gears here. We've talked a lot about challenges. Let's look into the future and do a little predicting, forecasting. What do you guys think autonomous driving is going to do to the subscription model?
I think it's going to be the best feature for a car since the navigational system. So I think it's going to vastly enhance the value that a car is bringing to an individual person. I think it's also going to enable new business models. But I think in many use cases, it will be simply an easier way for us to enjoy the freedom of a car.
100% in line. It will completely change the way we move. Of course, when we talk about autonomous driving, where will it happen? Will it happen also in rural areas in the countryside? Maybe, but when? So there is a need for a car, but I guess that we will have even a further push into the direction of car subscriptions, because the innovation circles are very short at the beginning. So you don't go and buy an autonomous car, because the car developed, the technology developed so fast, so you tend to go for a flexible short-term contract product.
Well, that could be very good for the two of you. Subscription offers often include many fully electric cars. What role does charging infrastructure play for car subscriptions? How do you evaluate the current state of charging infrastructure for your respective business models?
Yeah, I mean, like, we are active in Germany and the US, and I think the world couldn't be more different in those two countries. I think in Germany, charging infrastructure, at least in my opinion, hasn't been the bottleneck to adoption. Ultimately, the acceptance of users has been the main adoption blocker for adoption of electric vehicles. Whereas in the US, the charging infrastructure is the gating item. Ultimately, in the US, you have only a couple of superchargers. Basically, all of them are from Tesla. And it's very, very limited, your ability to ultimately complete a longer trip without making basically detours just to accommodate your charging needs.
What we do in the first step, we electrify our station network, about more than 2,000 stations globally. And we will finish this by end of this year in Europe. So each station will be electrified. This is crucial for the car rental business. And of course, it's crucial if you offer full flexibility on subscription. You return the car and you drive away with another, it must be charged. And secondly, what we do, and we will launch it by end of this year, we create six charge as another product on our sixth app. So you have rent, you have share, you have ride-hailing, you have subscription, and you will have sixth charge. And there you have the possibility to charge the car. It doesn't matter if it's an actual rental or not, on more than 100,000 of stations all over Europe. So this is really convenient. Why do we do it? Because, of course, the stickiness of the app, one registration, all products live. It makes it just more easy to go from A to B.
You will run out of space in the lower bar soon, right?
Yeah. Like, so
there
double,
are already four
space,
icons.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be five.
Micro mobility. Yeah. No, yeah.
Well, that sounds very cool indeed. I could listen to you guys talk about this all day. I'm conscious that we're coming to the end of our stage time. So let's make sure we get in some rapid fire questions. I'm going to give you two choices. No worming your way out by saying both or neither. You have to choose one, okay?
Yeah.
Okay,
all right, here
shoot.
We go. Florian, swap cars as often as possible in subscription or remain loyal to one vehicle?
Of course, swapping cars.
Max, private car or shared mobility?
It depends on the use case. For me, I live in a city, it's shared mobility.
Florian, electric vehicle or internal combustion engine?
Since more than 12 months, pure electric.
Pure electric. All right, hats off to you. Max, quickly delivered standard model or individual special configuration?
Quickly delivered standard model. Very, very easy.
Time is of the essence. Florian, driver's seat or passenger prince?
It depends, but mostly driver's seat.
Max, do you thrive in city life or do you prefer the tranquility of the countryside?
So both has its appeal, but I thrive in city life.
Okay, well, you told me earlier you spend a lot of time in New York, so that's good. Otherwise, it would probably be quite a struggle.
Yes.
Guys, final question to each of you. If you had one wish, what would be the game changer to make subscription models more successful?
It will be, of course, a change in the mindset of the target group, to really let loose on individual configuration, on status, on I need to have this car in particular, to realize that flexibility and sustainability gives yourself freedom, gives yourself enormous potential for cost saving. And of course, drives you in the direction to create a better world and to go more sustainable.
All right. A simple, humble wish. That should be easy.
Yeah.
Max.
I would be even more cheeky and just say time. So it will just take time. And I think it will have a very interesting and relevant place in the overall mobility mix.
All right. Well, you guys have definitely given me a lot to think about. I'm excited to see where the subscription business goes. Thank you very much to Florian Ritter von Clear of Sixt and Maximilian Rohr of Finn. I hope I didn't butcher your names too badly. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you so much for having us, Sarah.
Thank you.